Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you on this Sunday, where we will be talking about the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, the text assigned for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. This year that falls on, well, today. It's September 9th, and this is silly, but I like to write September 9th this year because it's 9/9/18, and obviously 9 and 9 add up to 18, and I just like random number sequences like that that work out. You know, there was that week in August where all the dates were, what is that word when it's the same front and back? A palindrome. And not that any of that has anything to do with any of our texts today, but it's just my random thought for you for the day, and there you have it. So why don't we talk about some Bible verses or some Bible passages, because that's what we're here for, not for me to talk about my weird fascination with number sequences. It is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, as I said, and we have lectionary texts assigned for this Sunday. So in this part of the episode, I'll be talking about the Old Testament lessons, and this week those come to us from Isaiah and Psalm 146. Then on the second half of the episode, which will air on Wednesday, then we'll talk about the New Testament lessons from James and the Gospel of Mark. So let's go ahead and turn to that first lesson coming to us from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7a, and those verses are as follows. Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the ground shall become reeds and rushes. Again, that is Isaiah 34, That is Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7a. I'm just doing great today, aren't I? So my instinct when I read these verses, and I wonder, you know, what you hear when you listen to those, if anything jumped out at you, my first choice would be to focus on verses 5 through 7a, because those are the ones that will connect, you'll see, with the Gospel of Mark, which has some healing stories. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless shall sing for joy. All of those healing stories that Jesus does in the New Testament, right? You know, he does all of those. Blind shall see. He cures a deaf man in this week's story. He cures people who were lame and speechless, etc. And then it moves into these other expressions of joy or good news, which is, you know, for waters shall break forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert, the burning sand shall become a pool, the thirsty ground springs of water. So all of these things that elicit positive images for us, that's where I want to spend my time in these verses, because that is the happy part, right? But that's not where we start, and it's important to look at that first verse, at verse 4. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. Now, if we were to just stop there, that is lovely, right? Say to those who are of a fearful heart, say to those who are afraid, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. And how often in the Bible does it say, don't be afraid, right? So that's going right along with this. And then we get the second half of that verse. God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will come and save you. Okay, here is your God. God will come and save you. Lovely. But God will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. Now, I don't know, but maybe for you, that feels like good news. Everyone hears these verses differently, and your circumstances certainly play into how you hear Bible verses. So, of course, if that brings you comfort, then I'm not here to tell you differently. But for me, God coming with vengeance and terrible recompense just makes me immediately feel like, no, that makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want a vengeful God. I want a loving God, right? Now, of course, there are times when God coming with vengeance, There are many instances in the Old Testament of God coming with vengeance, and sometimes, you know, you want a champion, you want someone that's going to come and rescue you in that way. I would like to look more at this text with you and look at some commentary about it. So this commentary comes from Anathea Portier Young, who is Associate Professor of Old Testament at Duke Divinity School in Durham, North Carolina. And what I like about her commentary is she really does exegesis on the Hebrew behind this first verse, this verse 4. And I did not take Hebrew in seminary. It was not required. We were required to take Greek, so I know little to nothing about Hebrew, and I am very grateful for people who have studied it and can do the exegesis, which is the word study, for me. Thank you, Anathea Portier Young, for being much, much smarter than me. I very much appreciate you. Okay, so she asks, who needs to hear this word of strength and courage? She says that the prophet names the audience for the sermon, the prophet names the audience for us who is going to hear this psalm. And in the translation that we read, I read from the New Revised Standard Version, or the NRSV, it's translated as those who are fearful of heart, which makes sense, right? Especially in light of that next part where it says, do not be afraid, do not fear. But she then goes on to say that a more literal translation of this Hebrew phrase, and the Hebrew phrase is nimhari leb, which may be a very wrong pronunciation, but would be ones whose hearts are racing. Isaiah is calling us as, you know, as we talk about this text, or Isaiah is directing these words to ones whose hearts are racing. Now, that gives us a much broader group of people than just those who fear, right? Hearts can race for all sorts of reasons. Hearts can race in excitement. Hearts can race in nervousness. Think about the times when your heart races, and why does it race? You know, there is that phrase, fight or flight, and when we get nervous, our bodies tend to prepare to either fight, not nervous, when we are afraid, when our bodies are pumped full of adrenaline, we are usually prepared to fight or run away, right? And this is a natural instinct. Most animals have this response to fight or run away. Now, what we don't often hear is, as it was pointed out to me several years ago, is that it's actually fight, flight, or freeze. And when we are filled with adrenaline, when we're in a tense or scary or whatever type of situation that fills us with adrenaline, we sometimes stand and fight. We sometimes get the urge to just run away. And sometimes we freeze. Has that ever happened to you when you are terrified of something and you just feel like you can't move? Maybe you are in a situation where you really want to speak up, but you don't feel like you can. Like there's something physically blocking your throat and you just can't speak up in that situation. This is what adrenaline does. It stimulates our muscles. It directs blood flow. It accelerates our metabolism. the commentary says that at the same time, it causes the senses to close in. The field of vision narrows and the world becomes strangely quiet. This is our stress response. And this is what gives us, you know, those, it energizes us. It energizes us to battle, or it energizes us to run away, or sometimes it doesn't quite energize us, but, you know, we're so energized that we're almost paralyzed. So what are those times? Think about your body. Think about the times when your heart is racing. Maybe it's racing in excitement. Maybe it's racing in nervousness, but in that good way. Like, you know, when you first met the person that you fell in love with, that heart pounding experience. There's so many reasons that our heart races. But in light of how this verse continues, do not be afraid. It seems that that we are talking about that fight, flight, or freeze aspect of a racing heart. So it's not just fear. It's something broader than fear, I think. And I really like that she is unpacking this in this commentary. So then she says that at the center of this first verse, verse 4, is a word that she says, I do not much like vengeance. That's nekwam in Hebrew. And I hear what she's saying. And she says that usually when I read through this lection, I find myself skittering past that word as quickly as possible. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. She says, I struggle to link this promise with the gospel good news. This vengeful God, this God who is going to come. And then she quotes biblical scholar Hendrik Peels, who has done more exegesis, more study on this word, this Hebrew word nekwam, and that's the word that is translated as vengeance. We're going to talk more about this word and this passage, but first we're going to take our first break of the podcast, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the passage assigned for this week from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7a. And we were talking about some of the Hebrew translations in that first verse, in verse 4. So we were talking about vengeance, and the translation that I read from, the NRSV, translates it as vengeance. And our commentator was saying how she feels a little bit uncomfortable with that. So then she says that biblical scholar Hendrik Peels has shown that the Hebrew word nekwam, the one translated as vengeance, she gives a couple other. The NAB offers vindication, NJPS translates requital. But she says that Hendrik Peels' studies have shown that this word nekwam refers to retribution by a legitimate authority. In Isaiah 35, 4, and similar texts, it has the further emphasis of retribution that brings liberation to the oppressed, freedom from a situation of need, and the restoration of justice. Its meaning is closer then to what we call restorative justice than to vengeance. The word nekwam is further modified and delimited in this verse by the positive phrase Gemul Elohim, translated in the NRSV as terrible recompense. This is an artful rendering, but a more literal translation reveals a wider range of possible meanings for this phrase. The Hebrew word Gemul often means simply dealing. It could also be translated response, benefit, or payment. So we might translate the phrase here as God's response or God's dealing. So what is this verse saying to us then? Saying to us of the racing hearts? Well, it's saying God is here. God's restorative justice is on its way. Hope now in God's dealing. Expect God's response. Look how active just that little word study can make that phrase now. God is here. Restorative justice is on its way. Hope now in God's dealing. Expect God's response. And she says, this promise of God's response, the command to proclaim that God is here right now and is working to make things right, focuses our attention on the need in this place at this very moment for restoration, repair, healing, and transformation. It focuses our attention once again on the beating, racing hearts of the real people in our communities, in our churches, in our lives, those around us. And it demands that we see what they and us, what we are running from, what we are fighting, what has immobilized us and stolen our voices. It demands that we see and name our hope. Isn't that amazing? Just that word study on the first verse gave me a totally different perspective on this passage, one that I probably would never have thought about because I didn't study Hebrew. And so it's so helpful, I think, for myself to read people that have studied the original language and can translate and say what different translations or what different nuances of different words can actually, what insight that can give us into the reading. So we're going to turn our attention now to the psalm assigned for this week. As I said earlier, that psalm is Psalm 146. And those verses are, it's the entirety of the psalm. So that psalm is as follows. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On the very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. There is so much in this psalm. Again, this was Psalm 146. It's just 10 verses, and yet I feel like all of the themes of the Old Testament are wrapped up in this psalm. Praise the Lord. Well, and as psalms do, psalms tend to follow a pattern, and I feel like this one does as well. It starts out with praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to God all my life long. And then it says, okay, so why? Why should I do this? Why should I praise the Lord? It then implores the listeners, don't put your trust in mortals, in princes, in authority that isn't God. Don't put your final trust in that. Obviously, we live in the world. We live where we need to respect the authorities around us. We need to follow laws and follow rules, right? But don't put your ultimate hope and faith in those authorities because they are temporary. Put your grand, great faith in God. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Why? Well, it's going to tell you. Because God made heaven and earth. God made the sea. God made all the creatures that are on the earth and in the sea. God keeps faith forever. It's God who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. And there we get a reference to healing. And we're going to talk about healing in the next episode. The Lord lifts up those who are bound down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. And he upholds the orphan and the widow. Again, a very common theme, taking care of the most vulnerable in society. But the way of the wicked God brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. So then we wrap right around to the beginning. Praise the Lord. So we are told to praise the Lord. Well, why should we praise the Lord? Well, let me just wrap it all up. Let me just kind of summarize. And by I mean the psalmist. Let's just summarize what God has done. And this happens throughout the Bible. We aren't just told, believe in God, period. We're told, believe in God, here's why. Trust in God, here's why. And it's the story, this history of what God has done throughout the relationship with God's people. How God continues to work and to be in relationship with us as God's beloved children. So first off, God made heaven and earth. God made all of the creatures that are on the earth and in the seas. This is the first reason, because God provides for us. And however you understand the creation of the universe, that's still true. God still provides for us. And then it goes on to say all the other ways that God provides for God's children, you know, executing justice for the oppressed, giving food to the hungry, setting the prisoners free, opening the eyes of the blind, all of those things that God does that we are called to do in the world because we are God's children. So we become God's hands in the world to continue doing those things that God does for us, how we provide for our neighbors, how we care for those who are the most vulnerable in our societies. All of these things God does, and God has given us the ability to do so that we can care for those around us. We're going to talk more about this psalm, but it's time to take our second break of the podcast, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, where we are now talking about Psalm 146 on this 16th Sunday after Pentecost. And I read this week that this psalm, just to give you some context, this psalm opens a collection of five hallelujah psalms at the end of the book of Psalms. So just to, you know, kind of place us where we are in the Bible, where we are in the book of Psalms, we are toward the end, which for some reason my brain never fully remembers how many psalms there are. I know I should know that. I do know that. But when I see 146, my brain doesn't automatically say, oh yeah, we're at the end. Well, we are. So Psalms 146 through 150 are a collection of five hallelujah psalms. This is according to Esther M. Men, who is Dean and Vice President for Academic Affairs, and Ralph and Marilyn Klein, Professor of Old Testament at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. So she says that each of these psalms begins and ends, as ours did, as we saw, encouraging everyone to praise the Lord, which is the meaning of the Hebrew phrase, hallelujah. This joyful set of psalms is a fitting conclusion for the book of Psalms, which in Hebrew is known as praise songs. Well, there you go. So, of course, a book called Praise Songs should end with five psalms encouraging us to praise the Lord. Psalm 146 celebrates the good news that in the face of human frailty and mortality, God remains trustworthy. What is more, God's sovereignty from creation to eternity is dedicated to assisting those in deepest need and direst circumstances. Lifelong praise through bearing witness to God's reign is the theme of Psalm 146. So we are called then, she says, to praise the Lord by pledging to praise God as long as we live. The psalmist is an individual, and in this case, this is an individual psalm, not a corporate psalm, and I will pray, because it says, I will praise the Lord, not, yeah, okay. So, as long as I live, and sing God's praises all my life long. So, the human lifespan, she says, is introduced as ample time for expressing God's goodness. An alternative translation of verse 2, she says, identifies human life not only as the time frame, but also as the means through which to praise God. I will praise the Lord through my life. I will sing God's praises through my existence. She says that's her translation. This translation suggests events in a person's own life that illustrate God's faithfulness. It also implies that the way one lives one's life is itself an act of praise. Living out God's values of truth, justice, and responsiveness to those in need described in verses 5 through 9 acknowledges God's goodness. I love this because how often do we read the Psalms and we think, well, yes, okay, so these are the reasons that we should praise God and that makes sense. I will praise God my whole life. But just changing the slightest nuance of a translation, and that's apparently the theme of today's episode, is just those little translations and what we can learn from them. Instead of, I will praise God my whole life, I will praise God through my life, meaning my life will be itself an act of praise. The actions of my life will be acts of praise. So, everything that I do, I can do as a means of praising God, and not just praising God by saying, I praise God, but by acting in all of those ways that verses 5 through 9 talk about, by taking care of those who are vulnerable in our society. And you might look at that and say, well, yes, but I didn't, you know, I'm not God. I didn't create the earth. I don't heal the blind and all of those things. But we are called, as I said, to be God's hands in the world, to do God's work in the world. And so, yes, maybe you do not specifically cure blindness, but you work hard to help those around you. Maybe you work hard to help people see their lives in a different way, right? There's all of these ways that we can do God's work in the world. It doesn't mean we have to literally do what God does. We didn't create the earth, obviously. We didn't create the sea and all of the creatures in it, but we can work to preserve God's creation. We can be caretakers of God's creation. And so we can praise God by doing things that help the world around us, that preserve the environment around us. We can praise God by helping the most vulnerable of God's children, the widows, the orphans, those in our society who are at the most risk, who need our help for so many reasons. We can praise God through our life. And I love this. I am definitely going to be, this is definitely going to be my thinking this week. And if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know I like to leave it myself, and I guess you, I mean, I don't know how you go through your week and how you think about the text that you've heard, whether in church on Sunday or here, etc. But I always like to have something that I take with me and that I can ponder. And this week for me, at least this half of the week. Maybe it'll be different on Wednesday when we talk about the next set of lessons. This week, I want to think about how I can praise God through my life. Not just praise God by saying, you know, by giving thanks, which is important, by praising God, by singing and doing all those things that we do in worship that praise God, because those are valid. Those are wonderful. But how can I then praise God through my life? How can my life be an expression of my praise? How can my life be an expression of the thanks that I give? What can I do to make God's creation, to make God's world, to make God's children a little bit better than the way that I found them? How are the ways that you do that? How are the ways that you would like to do that? What does this make you think of? I would love to hear from you. You can comment on this post. You can comment on social media, et cetera, et cetera. You've heard me say it a million times, but how do you see this? How do you already see that you are praising God with your life, through your life, that your life is an expression of praise? Or how do you, if you are going to ponder this, as you ponder, what percolates up to the top of that pondering? What do you see as expressions of praising God through your life? I would love to hear your answers. So I'm going to wrap this up for this today's episode. Please join me again on Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining me now, but please join me again on Wednesday as we move on to talk about the New Testament text assigned for this week, coming to us from the book of James and the Gospel of Mark. In the meantime, have a beautiful Sunday and a beautiful start to your week. And please, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. See you on Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.